Hello there, this is Crystal, and you're listening to the Crystal Archive podcast.
The Crystal Archive Podcast, episode number 26, recorded on July 25th, 2010. I'm Mr. Crystal, your host, and we have a very special guest host today, live and in person.
Fox Type 1973.
How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good, and you?
Not bad. It's been an interesting experience. This is my first time to actually hang out with a Crystal fan in person before.
Well, I've been around for as far as the Star Fox community goes since 1993 when the first game came out, and actually it took me a little while to get used to Crystal, or should I say Adventures, when that came out, because I was so busy doing other stuff at the time. And after a while, though, when I found out a little bit more about her character and etc., I sort of got hooked into it.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't like a exotic blue-colored fox? I mean, really. So, as is typical of podcasts, we're going to go over the old news first, followed by the new news. And I have to apologize. There's not much in the way of news this time, because we're actually getting a podcast out in less than 5 months. So, with that, let's get started with the new news. So we're gonna alternate, as we often do with guest hosts. That's all right with you?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. So the first thing, since last time, the new fan art was updated on site, and that brought in several hundred new Crystal fan arts. I think we're just shy of the 6,000 Crystal fan arts, just those listed on the site. Of course, there's way more than that in existence. And as I had said in the last podcast, I thought that there might be some problems with updating the fan art scripts because of the DeviantArt changed their layout. But thankfully, there was only really one thing I needed to change, and it was a quick and simple change. So that was good. So we got some new fan art. Next one is for you.
Okay, then there was the new voice clips without the effects of Star Fox Assault. And who did that again?
That was... Oh, it was Hakun.
Yeah.
Yes, Hakun. And he or she sent me some more clips, actually, since the last time. The first clips, those were just
I think they were just gameplay sounds.
No, the first ones.
Yeah, well, I think
those were just the mission.
Yeah, intros. Mission intros.
And so I cut those out. Afterwards, we got some new ones, and we want to play those for you real quick. These are everything else that Hakun was able to record from Star Fox Assault. So we're going to do something I never do, and that is play audio without post-production. Oops, sorry, I got too close to the microphone. So this is without post-production. We're going to go ahead and do it in the podcast, and this is some clips from Star Fox Assault without the background music, but it still has some sound effects sometimes.
Hey, Slippy, don't get cocky.
Can we hear that?
This happens because you're reckless. Be more careful. All right, hit them hard and don't hold back. Hey, stop joking around. Excellent, the enemy's offensive power is down. A stealth squadron, look out, Fox. Huh? Look out, the enemy's waiting for us. Enemy ship down. It must have a weak point. Everything does. I hope we make it in time. Aim for the Thunderside, Fox. Come on, Fox. Get a move on. Fox, behind you. Looking good, Fox. Only two more shield generators to go. You all need to stop being so awfully selfish.
And we'll stop it there. I think you get the idea.
Well, I was just thinking that I have a decent, fairly decent computer anyway. I was thinking of maybe taking some of the tracks, putting them through Soundtrack Pro for the Mac, and maybe using some of the noise gate systems to try to bring down the background noise. Yeah, the background noise, and see if I could try to cancel more of that out and then send them back.
That would be. I'd love to see that. See if that could work out for making the clips better. That would be good to hear.
Yeah, as you know, I think I mentioned it on the way over here that I remastered the soundtracks for both Adventures and Assault, and I have the luxury of putting stuff into through Soundtrack Pro and re-equalizing them, bringing out the stereo spread more, and having a home THX system helps, because there's a lot of bass out there that can be brung out.
Yeah, you definitely put a lot more surround in the clip than I was otherwise aware of for some of the audio. And you brought that out of the audio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see.
The next thing is the mystery crystal cosplayer appeared again at Anthrocon this year, which I was actually a bit late posting that, because the Anthrocon happened. And then several weeks later, I actually posted about it. But this was a crystal fursuiter that we had seen before.
That was last year, wasn't it?
It was last year at...
same place?
No, it was not the same place. That's the odd thing. Usually they're at this... This was at Midwest Fur Fest 2009. Yeah. And that's the weird thing. A lot of times the fursuiters, at least the ones that play crystal, often only go to one convention and stay at that convention. So far as I've seen, this is the first time I've seen a cosplayer of crystal go to different cons. And of course, as always, as we can see here on these images, she's accompanied by another character who's dressed himself as Fox McCloud. And whoever these two people are, they do not want to be identified, apparently, because... they were very secretive, according to the people who reported to me. And their name tags simply said Fox McCloud and Crystal McCloud. There was no other information. But, yeah, this is a good suit, because this is one of the first ones, or the first one, that to actually feature the assault jumpsuit for Crystal instead of the adventure-style look, or some other style, perhaps. Any comments on this one?
Well, around the last year, that was around just after the two came out with that, I mentioned the fact that the only thing that was missing as far as the costume went was the tiara in the hair.
On the top of the hair?
Yeah, so that would kind of finish it a little bit more.
Yeah, I imagine that's tough, though. They'd have to glue it on. I mean, realistically, that tiara, just there's nothing to hold on to up there. Mm-hmm. If you were to actually do it in real life, you know, a real-life fox head of that size and shape. But we'll get to that later. One last piece of old news, because I'm lazy and busy. We have...
Let's see, the Saurian translator.
No.
Oh, that was right. The new fan fiction.
New fan fictions.
I was going to try to... before I was coming out here, I was going to mention that... I was going to try to go through some of the fanfics during my spare time. And
I've got a backlog.
Yeah, I was going to try to get through some of that. And, well, I've got jury duty coming up sometime next month. So I thought, well, if I am sitting around, or at least being sitting around and maybe being called in for an actual case or something like that, at least I'll have something to read during the time I'm waiting.
Yeah. I know when I was in jury duty, I had to bring a book or two or my computer, and it was pretty boring while we were waiting around. But you know, a lot of times you can talk to the people around you, and you come into contact with a lot of people you wouldn't otherwise would at jury duty. So That was an interesting experience. So that takes care of the old news, and that's because I've been super busy trying to get a job, and I'm just so behind with the news for the Crystal Archive from previous things that I actually just avoided working on it for the most part because I knew there was so much left to do. So with that said, we're going to move on to the new news. And I'll start. One thing that I actually did late last night, over the past couple days, because of a couple of new things I discovered about HTML5 and JavaScript, I went ahead and redid some more stuff on the new Saurian Translator number 7. Now, that preview, the live preview that you've seen in previous months, is still there under the same address, but now it's in its hopefully final form. And the only difference is here is that I make the pronunciation box mandatory. So there is no be turning it on and off. There's no debug box anymore. And that makes the underlying code a lot simpler. And I used a bunch of otherwise some other back-end stuff that makes the site much smaller. It's something like less than half of the size of the original Saurian Translator, which makes it load faster and is available to give you the translation services without you having to wait for the page to load or anything like that. But of course, still remaining to do, I still have to finish researching and implementing the pronunciation functions. And then otherwise, it's mostly testing and setup stuff before I can officially launch it as the new version of the Saurian Translator. So I hope to do that sometime next month. But that's going to be crazy because I've got to get a job by then and whatever. It's really crazy. So we'll see what happens with all that. So that is one bit of news. Next thing, we have a discussion.
Yeah, that's right. We were getting set up for the podcast here. I was going through that age-old question that was on Star Fox Online. That is, what if Crystal came to Earth and there was one thing you could do with her? And I was thinking about the times when people were saying, I'd take her out for dinner or something like that. And then I thought a little bit about the physiology of a Saurian. How would their nervous systems or something like that handle something like the food that we have out here? For example, if just thinking off the top of my head, which was, would milk send her off over the edge or be harmful to her? Or
some
would,
kind of allergic reaction.
Yeah, or would she get drunk on Coca-Cola or root beer?
From the caffeine.
Yeah, from the caffeine. It's just something I thought was fascinating to think about anyway.
I've always responded in the stereotypical good guy fashion and say, if Crystal showed up, I would immediately attempt to find out how to get her back home.
That was another thing, too.
She shouldn't really be here, and probably doesn't want to be here if with all these strange flat-faced people with very bland-looking colors. But anyways, so that's how I've always responded to it, because I figure she wants to get back to the team.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, it's interesting. How would the public react? Probably thinking it's a very good costume and not even noticing, you know.
Well, if she happened to be in New York, they probably wouldn't notice at all.
Yeah. In certain areas of the country, other areas of the country and other places would say, you know, it's a monster. Pitchforks and torches, you know, after. But, yeah. So before we get to the other bit of discussion, I wanted to go through the list, and it's a long list, of the things that the things that are new news that I haven't gotten to update since the last time, because this podcast is actually early. So let's go down the list. I need to update a bunch of pages dealing with cosplay, including the new images of Felicia 22X and Mew. I need to actually make a new page for Mew. I also have some new information about that first Crystal cosplayer that appeared back in 2003. Actually, I think I might have updated that page, but I'm not sure. Still need to update the fan games with these mods, including the Little Big Planet, Sack Girls. We have actually a new one that I don't think I talked about last time, and that is someone has made a Mod Racers Crystal model. So it's like a chibi-fied version of Crystal, and a Crystal-based car to race in, because it's a racing game. And I need to make actual pages for the Brawl texture hack and other related things. As far as 3D projects go, I still need to get back in contact with Ganon Strium, who did the Adventures RIP, and the Inky 84, who made a Star Fox 64 like Crystal, and others. Fan fiction, though, that is good because I actually did get a lot of response to my request for reviewers, and actually even a few people I haven't even had a chance to respond to. I'm practically done with the new fan fictions that need reviews, but there's a few left. So thank you all for those who helped out, and I'll be contacting you in the future as I need help with that. I did the new fan art updates, that's done, and we I think I've gotten one new donation since the last podcast, maybe two. You guys have become more and more generous, and I thank you for that. I haven't added any of the new fan films, and I've got a huge list, something like 20 new fan films to add. I did add Hakun's audio, so that's good. I haven't gotten back in touch with Estelle Ellis about the interview. Need to do that. And otherwise, all the video checks, video work I need to do hasn't been done yet. You know what? That's a new thing that I don't see listed here that happened probably right after the podcast last time. And that was someone on Star Fox Online noticed that the latest version of the Wii and GameCube emulator is now capable of running Adventures slowly, but it actually will run without, you know, the models disappearing, which is the previous problem. And so it's now, in fact, possible for us to get, like, 1080p video of Crystal in her appropriate cutscenes from the game. And I'm really looking forward to getting that. Even if they can get it, you know, really slow speed, I can take it frame by frame and edit the video together in a super high, well, not super high, but very high resolution video of those cutscenes, which I've been trying to do for years with my limited capture abilities. So you got some ideas about upsampling stuff.
Yes, I'm looking into, well, around the time, I don't know, well, excuse me if I sound a little confused, because I've got other things to think about, but I have been looking at, what was it, the Blackmagic Designs.
Blackmagic Pro, right?
Yeah, the Intensity Pro. And there are some things in there that you can capture at 480p and up-res a little bit to 1080p. And also there's a plug-in that you can pick up from Boris FX that can also take a 480p image and up-res it to 1080p.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of looking to do that a little bit myself. Also, there's that other project that I mentioned to you a little while ago that Iano and Ken said they were looking into.
Well,
they were interested.
We're not quite there yet. Let's finish the old new news.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll because I have that listed as discussion item here. Right.
My error.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Otherwise, let's see here. I was talking about research last time, and I haven't done any more additional research. I have done a little bit of research in the Saurian translation area, pronunciation, but not, well, I'm basically just changing the way I do it. So I'm going to be doing word-for-word pronunciation translation rather than trying to do it as phrases, so that hopefully that'll help. But in the meantime, that's all the stuff that hasn't gotten updated since the last podcast that I need to update. So that's the old new news. So now we have one last discussion item listed here before we go on to other parts, and that is next year in January. You're planning to go where?
I'm planning to make it to further confusion. Right now, I'm trying to get some of the other little things out of the way, like the jury duty and things like that. But I remember reading last year, or was it the year before, that you mentioned you didn't have a camcorder, and I thought, hey, I saw the outfit that Iano came out with, and I was spending... I was the guy that was spending something at least 4 hours in the early morning hours.
Yes, you were the one who got me all those images, hundreds of images of Iano.
And I thought that, well, wait a minute, since he doesn't have a camcorder or something like that, I can use my system as well as some tricks that you can do with the Mac, like you did with a little bit with the video that you did of a girl like that.
I did per frame masking.
Yeah, and I can do probably pretty much the same, as well as some visual tricks with a green screen. I'm using an end of life program that was made for the Mac called Shake, and that was the same kind of compositing software that they used for Lord of the Rings. But getting back to the original gist of the idea was to get as much video shot of the Iano's crystal and do it exclusively for the archives.
Yes.
And then if I have the time and the footage put aside with green screen, you mentioned the fact that, hey, why don't we do some recreations of adventures using the backgrounds or something like that.
That's something that that I thought when I was talking to Ken Singsho, who is a friend of Iano's and helps her out at the conventions. I was like, could you get, you know, because they had already gone back to Japan by then. And I said, could you get, you know, some picture? I heard you're doing a photo shoot. Can you get some video too while you're at it? And I was like, great. And he did. And we posed that on the site, you know, half a year ago. And it occurred to me that, you know, she was walking through like some trees and brush and stuff. It's like, that's just perfect. You could recreate a scene from Adventures or something, or maybe just do a scene, even if it wasn't a recreation. And that, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily have to be green screen, although that would be, that would be interesting. And you could do all sorts of things and make it an acting experience, not just a costume experience. And Ken Singsho said that that she might be interested in the idea, and that's for him and her and you to work out in the next 5 months or so that you have before the convention. But unless something weird happens, you're at least going to be there with a video camera.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because I was thinking, like, there are some things in the motion effects that Final Cut Studio has, adding the vapor trail or a plasma trail over a crystal staff. Yeah, so if she's swinging the staff around, I can put the trail.
And you can make her shoot stuff, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe have them explode, the shots explode in midair somewhere off in the distance.
Yeah, I sent you a, did you see the pattern?
You sent me a pattern.
Yeah, that was fairly close to the red and white plasma when she was shooting the
Krazoa head.
Krazoa head, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can do it.
So he's quite talented with the video and the effects. So we can't wait to see what you're going to be able to do once we January comes around.
Yeah, I'm kind of jazzed by it too. It would be my first major thing using advanced effects and such like that. So,
well, I hope you do well. Because it's been such a short time since the last episode, and because I don't own Star Fox Online anymore, we don't really have any Star Fox news to report. So we're going to skip ahead to other news, which this time is going to be just, I will mention one thing before we get into that, and that is, as with the last podcast, I'm still looking for a job. That hasn't changed. Basically, I'm still looking for a job, and it's still the same difficulty finding a job as last time. But enough about that. We got two furry-related things. The first one I wanted to mention, because I'd mentioned this in previous podcasts, a furry-related, semi-furry game based on an animation by the same guy. Both of them are in production, and it's called Elysian Tale, or Dust and Elysian Tale. And that is a very gorgeous-looking Xbox Live arcade game that's now been dated. I've mentioned it previously on the podcast, and it's dated for 2011. And it's already won an award for like best looking game on the Xbox Live Arcade. So, and it's got like anthropomorphic characters and more of a hack and slash type game. So it's probably one of the reasons why eventually I too will get an Xbox 360. So I wanted to mention that before we got into another discussion item here, and that is to talk about your how you came to be here, your story, your furry story.
Well, actually,
as much as you want to say, of course.
Well, I can say that I'm a gray muzzle, and I date back to a little bit. Well, actually, before 1973, and even before that.
Yes, before I'm kind I was born.
I'm kind of like the peppy hair of the, as far as age goes.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get gray fur right now, so, but.
You just need some ears.
Yeah, yeah. as it is, though, I've been more or less around the fandom before it was a fandom. And as far as Star Fox, the old school stuff, when it came out in 1993, I was kind of enamored by it because, hey, this is a shoot 'em up with
3D game. Graphics.
Yeah, 3D or near 3D graphics, as well as morphic characters. And they had that funky alien speak that they had at the time.
Uh-huh.
And they also have that, I think they had that in Command, didn't they?
Yeah, they did have custom alien-ish speak that you could modify with your own voice if you so chose to do.
I never played that.
Oh, okay.
Although sometimes I wonder if I should have or not, because
you should play it once just for the ability or the experience, because it's not a bad in terms of gameplay, but the story is
There was difficult. 9 different endings, and on top of that, from what I saw that they did with the character design, they made Fox and Crystal look like bobblehead dolls. I was debating debating whether to actually build a couple of those.
Oh, bobbleheads from the Command. Huh?
Yeah,
you know they had the Avengers Command. Fox
yeah, I remember somebody mentioned that. But as far as the character goes, I didn't actually get into adventures, or at least with Crystal, until about a year or two after that.
2004.
Yeah, 2004. And then I was going like, hey, who's this? And then what's the story behind her? And then I found out that there's not that much story behind her, but she lost her parents And she lost her home world. And here she is wandering about until she finds up a distress call and being of a kind nature and all that. And I was going like, if I were her, you know, at least the sort of thing, I guess if she didn't run into Fox or if she didn't run into distress signal, she would still be searching for the answers of what happened to her home world and such. Because I was thinking, like, God, that must be a really bad thing to go through.
I bet.
I was wondering about, you know, that was the other thing that kind of bugged me, is that what would, even though she ended up joining the team, I wonder why she gave up the idea of, you know, or at least the plan of going back to looking for the answers of her past a little bit.
I chalked it up to plot holes, but...
Yeah, but I was thinking, like, well, okay, let's say she's got something other than that to go through, you know, being in the ending up in assault and such like that, and going like, well, maybe I can put this off. And like other things we do is that we put it off and put it off and put it off, and then eventually we just go, oh, to heck with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could do that about the death of your entire planet.
But
you know, I sort of see you. I just assume that if it's not a plot hole, it's some kind of something that they will save for a later date for another story.
Yeah, that was one. But that was one other thing I wanted to bring up, since you mentioned E3 and the Star Fox 64. 3D.
3D, yeah.
For the next game platform. And the only thing is that bothers me is I'm wondering if they're trying to do a reboot Star Fox 64 on.
I think officially, when the first Star Fox 64 came out, that was a reboot because it's retelling the story of the first game, essentially. But as far as that game, the 3DS version of Star Fox 64, I don't think that one actually does anything to the story, other than maybe make some minor adjustments. But I don't think it's a reboot, and I don't think it's a remake. It's just a graphical overhaul and a simplification of the controls, I believe. I mean, that's all we've seen so far. As before, it does look amazing, and I'm sure it looks even more amazing if you can see it in three-dimensional space. As far as finishing up this discussion, you were mentioning why you like Crystal, and it's like basically the same.
Yeah, it's basically the same. She's compassionate. She's somewhat adventurous, of course, and as you said at the end of one of your. Or at least the article and thing, but actually and finally, I think she's cute.
Yeah.
So
she's a very attractive lady. A vixen, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's a bad pun. Okay. Well, with that, unless you have any more discussion you'd like to have?
Not at the moment.
All right. Well, we're going to go into questions. See, guys, I told you it was going to be a quick podcast. So I'm going to make this text larger so we can both read it, because that's a good thing to do. Let's see here. And we're going to do questions. So as we only have a couple questions this time, so we're gonna alternate the reading of them, and we can both answer if it brings to discussion. But do you want to read the first one, or shall I?
Oh, you take it then.
I'll take the first question. So Dogman15 wrote, I've been familiar with their site and all things related to it for a few years now, and I only learned about the Star Fox series within the last 5 years or so. Yeah, Susumi. So I noticed something today that made me quite happy. I was pleased to see that someone on the internet as distinguished as you is a Christian. It's so nice to know the fan site out there is in such good hands. And I agree that like you say, Christian, conservative, furry, these are not words that you generally hear together, but it's not unheard of. I know you don't have a lot of time, and I'm not asking you to respond to this, but I wanted to quickly say that while I don't consider myself a member of the furry fandom, I do have some sort of interest in anthro animals and stuff. I'm also a conservative Christian. Slightly related, I also know of another conservative Christian furry, but he's never done anything Star Fox related before, and it's a wannabe Mustang jockey .deviantart.com, and he says he met him in real life once. Again, sorry to bother you, Mr. Crystal, but I wanted to let you know that I was happy to learn that you're a Christian. Good luck with your future website stuff, and have a nice day. I responded that I'm honored to be such an example to you and Christians everywhere. And I put this in my article about myself about the webmaster on the Crystal Archive. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for men." And that's from Colossians 3:23. And I try to follow that in everything I do, and the Crystal Archive is no exception. I'm starting to meet other creative Christians myself lately. Hopefully I'll get to meet some furry Christians in person sometime, maybe when I go to a convention. But I've yet to to meet that many of them so far. And by the way, the furry fandom is most simply defined as those who have some sort of interest in anthros and such. So in that sense, you and many others who don't call themselves furry are already furries, although you could make the argument that self-representations, the fact that you have to call yourself a furry to be one at the very least. So, you know, whatever. So do you have any response to this email or anything?
No, not really.
Okay. Now, what about the nature of the definition of furry?
Well, actually, I was going to say there are a lot of other Christian furry artists out there. I can think of Juan Jaguar, that has done really nice art, has done really nice morphic artwork, and she's Christian as well.
Mm.
And I think that I think it's great.
As I was saying, it's commonly known as the walking oxymoron, because you just don't expect to have that combination usually, but it does happen. So next question.
Okay, Saber Fox.
No.
Oh, that's right. sorry, I got a little getting forward a little here. Oh, that's Lon Wolf. That's spelled L-O-N, big N, 3-W-O-L-F, 396 writes, "Thank you so much for adding Dark Coalition to the Crystal Archive. I'm very honored to have my first fanfic on the archive and cannot thank you enough for the review. I've been having such a rough time in the past few days, and you have no idea how much seeing my work on the Crystal Archive lifted my spirits. Thank you so much. Sincerely and with respect."
And I responded, "Thank you very much. Yeah, you're welcome. You're most welcome. And sorry it took so long. But again, I am limited by the speed of the reviewers who can help me review the fix. So really, this thanks should go to all of you who helped me review the fix. And you know what? I should name you by name, because I think I've got you here. Let's see. Drunken Buffer and Vrance Movedo. Both of you have been very helpful in reviewing the fix. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, but that's what I do.
That's Movado.
Movado. My mistake.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I'm horrible with names, so hopefully you've forgiven me by now. The last email we have, yep, that's right, only three of these, is from SaberFox0324. "Hello, Mr. Crystal." Wow, that's formal. "I'll cut right to the chase. I recently came across your site through a fellow online friends of mine, SysFox and Kamikaze Fox, and I have a few questions," and he's got these in perfect format because they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rapid fire questions. So here goes. How do I post a video on your site? How does the site work? Crystal's hot. Okay, that's a statement. That's not a question. But it's nonetheless true. What do I need? And is the site free? And that's everything I can think of. Thank you, Mr. Crystal. And I responded that, one, and we're going to do this in order. To post a video on the site, first you email me a link of your YouTube video and I will review it at some point. I'm kind of behind right now. And if I approve it, it will be added to the fan film page and featured as a news item on the homepage. Number two, the website runs off of WordPress, which is a blogging software that I've modified with a custom theme and made it act more like a web page, a CMS, content management system. This WordPress software runs on my server in the background. You won't know about it just from seeing it. Number three, yes, Crystal's a very attractive lady. Number four, I'm not sure what you mean by what you need. I assume you mean what do I need to post a video or something like that. I already explained the answer to that. And number five, yes, the site is and always will be free. And unless something weird happens, we'll be ad-free as well. And, we have donations, but that's not to keep the site running. That's just for you to help me do more research, which hopefully I'll be able to buy a computer soon and I can get like HD videos of adventures or something. But anyways, that's all the questions we have. I'll open it up if you have any more things you want to talk about or discussions.
No, not at the moment, I guess.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for being on the first ever non-interview co-host of the Crystal Archive podcast.
Thank you.
And as always, we have a wrap-up. Just if you have any comments or questions, you can always post on the site in the comments area underneath any posts that interest you. And you can email me anytime, mrcrystal@gmail.com. And we thank you for listening.
Bye.